ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 26. King Puranjana goes to the forest to hunt. Anyatha karma kurvano manaruda nibadhyate guna pravaha patito Nashta pragyo vrajatyadaha. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Otherwise, a person who acts whimsically falls down due to false prestige. Thus he becomes involved in the laws of nature, which are composed of the three qualities, goodness, passion, and ignorance. In this way, a living entity becomes devoid of his real intelligence and becomes perpetually lost in the cycle of birth and death. Thus he goes up and down from a microbe in stool to a high position in the Brahmaloka planet. There are many important words in this verse. The first is anyatha, otherwise, which indicates one who does not care for the Vedic rules and regulations. The rules and regulations laid down in the Vedas are called Shastravidhi. Bhagavad Gita clearly states that one who does not accept the Shastravidhi or rules and regulations mentioned in the Vedas, in the Vedic scriptures, and acts whimsically or puffed up with false pride, never attains perfection in his life. Nor does he attain happiness or liberation from the material condition. Yakshastravidim utsrija vartate kamakarataha nasasidim avapnati nasukam naparamgatim. He who discards scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection nor happiness nor the supreme destination. Thus one who is deliberately transgressing rules and regulations of the Shastra is simply involving himself more and more in the material existence in the three modes of material nature. Human society should therefore follow the Vedic principles of life which are summarized in the Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, life in material existence will continue. Foolish people do not know that the soul is passing through 8,400,000 species of life. By the gradual process of evolution, when one comes to a human form of life, he is supposed to follow the rules and regulations laid down in the Vedas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that the living entity, since time immemorial, is suffering the threefold miseries of material nature due to his demonic attitude, which is his spirit of revolt against the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna also confirms this in Bhagavad Gita. Mama evamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manakshastani indrayani prakritistani karshati. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. Every living entity is a part and parcel of God. There is no reason for the living entity being put into the miserable threefold condition of material existence, but that he voluntarily accepts material existence on the false pretext of becoming an enjoyer. To save him from this horrible condition, the Lord has given all Vedic literatures in his incarnation of Vyasadev. It is therefore said, Krishna Bhuli Se Jiva अनादि बहिर्मुख अतएव माया तारे देह संसार दुख. By forgetting Krishna, the living entity has become materialistic since time immemorial. Therefore, the illusory energy of Krishna is giving him different types of miseries in material existence. Maya mukta jivar nahi svatah Krishna gyan jivari kripaya koila Krishna Veda Puran. When a living entity is enchanted by the external energy, he cannot revive his original Krishna consciousness independently. Svatah Krishna Gyan. Due to such circumstances, Krishna has kindly given him the Vedic literatures such as the four Vedas and 18 Puranas. Every human being should therefore take advantage of the Vedic instructions, otherwise he will be bound by his whimsical activities and will be without any guide. The word Manarudha is very significant in this world. Under the pretext of becoming great philosophers and scientists, men throughout the whole world are working on the mental platform. Such men are generally non-devotees due to not caring for the instructions given by the Lord to the first living creature, Lord Brahma. The Bhagavatam therefore says, Harava bhaktasya kuto mahat gunan manorathena sati davato bahihi. A person who is non-devotee has no good qualifications because he acts on the mental platform. One who acts on the mental platform has to change his standard of knowledge periodically. We consequently see that one philosopher may disagree with another philosopher, and one scientist may put forward a theory contradicting the theory of another scientist. All of this is due to their working on the mental platform without a standard of knowledge. In the Vedic instructions, however, the standard of knowledge is accepted, even though it may sometimes appear that the statements are contradictory. Because the Vedas are the standard of knowledge, even though they may appear contradictory, they should be accepted. If one does not accept them, he will be bound by material conditions. The material conditions are described in this verse as guna pravaha, the flowing of the three modes of material nature. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur therefore says in a song, Michi maer vashe, yachha beshe, kachha ha budu bhai. Why you are suffering? Why you are sometimes being drowned in the waves of material nature and sometimes coming to the surface? Jiva Krishna Dasa E Vishwas Karle Tara Ta Ara Dukha Nai. Please therefore accept yourself as the servant of Krishna, then you will be freed from all miseries. As soon as one surrenders to Krishna and accepts the perfect standard of knowledge, which is Bhagavad Gita as it is, he then comes out of the material modes of nature and does not fall down and lose his knowledge. Nashta pragya, the word pragya means perfect knowledge, and nashta pragya means one who has no perfect knowledge. One who does not have perfect knowledge has only mental speculation. In such mental speculation, one falls down and down into the hellish condition of life. By transgressing the laws laid down in the shastras, one cannot become pure in heart. When one's heart is not purified, one acts according to the three material modes of nature. These activities are very nicely described in the Bhagavad Gita, in the verse 1 to 6 of the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita further explains Traigunya Vishaya Vedan Nishtraigunya Bhavarjuna Nirdvando Dvo Nitya Sattvasto Niryoga Kshema Atmavan. The Vedas, mainly dealed with the subject of the three modes of material nature. Rise above these modes, O Arjuna. Be transcendental to all of them. Free. Be free from all the dualities and from all anxieties for gain and safety, and be established in the Self. The entire world and all material knowledge is within the three modes of material nature. One has to therefore transcend these modes and attain. And to attain that platform of transcendence, one must follow the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus become perfect in life. Otherwise, one will be knocked down by the waves of material nature, three modes. This is further explained in Srimad Bhagavatam in the words of Prahlada Maharaja. Matirna Krishne Paratak Svatova Mithobi Padyeta Grihavratanam Adanta Gobhir Vishatam Tamishram Punah Punascharvita Charvananam. Materialistic persons who are too much engaged in the material enjoyment and who do not know anything beyond their material experience are carried by the whims of material nature. They live a life characterized by chewing the chewed, and they are controlled by their uncontrolled senses. Thus, they go down to the darkest regions of hellish life. Srila Prabhupada ki. Anyatha karma kurvano mana rudha nibadhyate guna pravaha patito nashta pragyo vrajate daham. Otherwise, a person who acts whimsically falls down due to false prestige. Thus, he becomes involved in the laws of nature, which are composed of the three qualities, goodness, passion, and ignorance. In this way, a living entity becomes devoid of his real intelligence and becomes perpetually lost in the cycle of birth and death. Thus, he goes up and down from a microbe in stool to a high position in the Brahmaloka planet. Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna. It's a very great honor for me to speak in front of all of you here in Sri Vrindavan Dham. And with your blessings, I will try to say a few words about this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam and Prabhupada's purport to it. This section of Srimad Bhagavatam gives a little turn of the story of King Puranjana. The line of the story is that King Puranjana goes in the forest to hunt. But Srila Narada Muni, describing the story to King Prachinda Barhisat, in three verses, including this one, the last one of the three verses, is explaining the very reason of perpetuation of material existence. And Srila Prabhupada very elaborately explains this particular point. He says that the very reason of our material existence is our whimsical mind. The man is nothing but a mind. And our own mind is responsible for everything which we are doing in this world and ultimately for all our sufferings. And this mind has a particular quality which is described here very beautifully. And this particular quality is called mana arudha, or pride. This quality is ultimately the root cause of all sufferings. And that's the teaching, very clear teaching of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and in fact of all the great sages.
Manaruda literally means the one who is sitting on his pride. He has ascended his own pride, like sometimes Krishna is called Garuda Ruda. He is sitting on Garuda. So the living entity is not sitting on Garuda. The living entity is sitting on his own pride and riding his own pride. As much as Krishna is, you know, following here and there by using his carrier, Garuda, in the same way the living entity is traveling throughout this universe by sitting on his man, pride. And Prabhupada is very beautifully and humorously says that sometimes he is a microbe in a stool. And amazingly enough, and this is the most amazing thing, that this microbe in a stool is very proud of his position being a microbe in a stool. He is very proud. He says, this is the best position I can be in. This is my situation as a living entity. It's perfect. And then he goes up to the planet of Brahma and, you know, he becomes a little more proud, but ultimately it's the same. So, this pride, which is the very essence of material existence, of material conditioned life, is the root cause, and we have to be very, very clear of this poisonous root of our existence. Unless and until we uproot this particular quality, we will continue on and on and on and on and on. And there is no way around it. This particular quality of pride, which is very essential for our continuing material existence, has to be uprooted. Otherwise, there is no way out of it. And Narada Muni is very profoundly explains how the Vedic culture or Vedic literature deals with this problem. This problem is difficult to deal with because we totally identify with the mind, with all the desires of our mind, with everything. And basically, it's literally impossible to get rid of pride. Because pride means me. Ahankar, that's me, you know. How you can get rid of this pride? Because it's you, it's me. This pride is so deeply ingrained in the mind that it's extremely difficult even to look at ourselves and see the pride. In fact, the mind is the very instrument through which we see the world. And we just see the world through this lens of our own pride. So, if you have the glasses, and the glasses are very close to your eyes, you don't see how the glasses are colored. So, it's extremely difficult to even distinguish or recognize the pride in ourselves. Sometimes we think we are very humble. Especially being a devotee and being banged in our head, you know, you should be humble, should be humble. We really sincerely believe that we are humble. But our guise of humility is nothing but another manifestation of our pride. We are very proud because we are so humble. This is the reason. You know, this is how we use this particular thing. So that's a big problem. You know, even to recognize the pride. We can uproot something from our heart if we see it. But if we don't see it, how we will deal with it? You know. And of course, everyone else sees our pride. But not us. We will not see. We will not recognize, because again, this is the nature. This is the nature of our interaction. And moreover, the world is made in such a way as to make us more and more proud. And we feel that it's good to be proud. Little proud. Otherwise, how I can exist in this material world? So it's a big problem in general to get rid of this. And Srila Narada Muni, he gives a very profound explanation of how you can start dealing with the problem. It's not the end, but it's a very good step to start dealing with the problem. He says the only solution to this very deep problem of our material existence is accept somebody who is higher than you. And stop being whimsical. Stop just following your own mind. Accept the authority of the Vedas and follow very diligently whatever Vedas say without questioning it. And Prabhupada, he praises this Vedic instructions. He says the Vedic instructions are very authoritative because they never change. Whatever is coming from our mind is doomed to be changed. That's the nature of the mind. You know, have you ever noticed it? You know, now the mind wants something. At this particular moment, probably, the mind wants to finish this class as soon as possible and start seeking prasadam. But the mind is always, it's flickering. Prabhupada says this. This is just the nature of the mind. Mind always wants something which he is not doing at this particular moment. If he is sitting, he will want to walk. We all know this. When we chant Hare Krishna and we sit, you know, we think, it's probably, I will be better off if I walk. And then we sit again, and then we lay down because it's probably better. And so on and so forth. That's the nature of the mind. And whatever is coming from the mind has the same nature. Prabhupada is explaining this. He says, you know, this great scientist will invent great theory and everyone will applaud him, you know, till the next scientist comes and says, you know, phew, this is ridiculous, you know, listen to me. But it's the same. It's all creation of the mind. And Vedas don't change. That's the beauty of the Vedas. Vedas don't change. Vedic instructions don't change. What was true 5,000 years back is true now, and it was true 100,000 years back and 100 million years back. It's true. It's the same. And if you accept this, you get, for the first time, throughout your endless material life, for the first time throughout your endless material life, you get a chance to get rid of your whimsical nature and to get rid of your pride. Because these things, they go together. Our whimsical nature is the manifestation of pride. How it is the manifestation of pride? Very simply. Whatever I desire, whatever comes to my mind must be true. I'm always right. Did you notice this particular phenomenon? That everyone else can be wrong. But there is one exception in the whole creation. That's happened to be me. Why? Because I totally identify with the desires of the mind, and whatever is there, it's right. It's by definition, it's right. I am always right, and so whatever comes to my mind is the authority. It's the highest authority in this creation. Whatever comes to my mind, I have to, you know, and everyone else should follow this. So, you know, in order to deal with this problem,
The solution which Narada Muni explains to us is that we have to accept something which is higher than our mind.
For our own good. Ultimately, all Vedic instructions there for our own good. And one can practically see it. What another characteristic of Vedas, one is that it doesn't change, never change. But another characteristic is that you can practically, experientially prove to yourself that this is good. So many very practical instructions are there. If you start following a little bit, you will understand it's beneficial for me. But there is a very interesting feature of Vedic instructions. Very interesting feature. Even though the Vedas usually explain the benefit, the fruit of following the instructions, sometimes they don't. Especially for the most important instructions which we have to follow. The Vedas, as it is said, that the Vedas, they teach as the king. Just do it without questioning it. Which is very difficult for our rational mind to swallow. We need to be explained why do I have to do this? You know, usually there are so many nowadays. So many people are trying to explain or to give scientific rationale to Vedic instructions. But the beauty of Vedic instructions is that they don't explain this. Just to train our mind, just follow it, follow it, follow it, you stupid fellow. And if you follow it, you will see it's beneficial. But they will never explain to you, because otherwise, you know, if they give the explanation to you, if they say you should follow this, then the fertile mind will invent some other explanation. I shouldn't follow it because of this rationale. So the very first step which we have to follow to get rid of the pride and to stop our material existence is just to accept unquestionably the Vedic authority. Prabhupada, he gave this beautiful example. He says that, you know, when somebody says something in Vedic culture, if he is deeply involved in Vedic culture and he is very natural in Vedic culture, if somebody says something, the other one will ask, why do you say this? Where it is set in Vedas? Why are you stating this? You know, the standard of Western culture is just you say whatever you like and everyone just, you know, or whatever. Either argue or applaud you, you know, and it's going on and on and on. Circus. You know, you say something, another one accepts or rejects. But both is done whimsically. Prabhupada says, Veda says that the stool is dirty. But the stool of a cow is pure. And it doesn't explain why it is pure, how it is pure, just do it. And if you start speculating, you know, if the stool of a cow is pure, then the stool of a pure Brahmana must be even more pure. And try to use the stool of a pure Brahmana for hygienic purposes. You will become a fool, number one. Because that's what it is. Stool of a cow is pure. And even though a pure Brahmana may be much more pure than a cow, still his stool is impure. And that's how we should do it. You know, and that's the only way to start understand what is really going on with us. Just unquestionably accept the Vedic authority. And when we do this, as it's said here, then we will gradually free ourselves from the stringent laws of material nature. If we don't do this, as it is said here, then nibadhyate, we will be bound by the laws of material nature, and we go down and down and down and degrade. If one is kamakarataha, if one is just following the karma, the desires, the whims of his own mind, na sasidhim avapnati, na sukham, na paramgatim, he will not attain the siddhi, the perfection, the success in life. He will not obtain nasasiddhim avapnati, nasukham. He will not be happy. Na paramgatim. Krishna is so clear about this verse, and Prabhupada is deriding all these swamis who say, you know, you just do whatever you like. So many people nowadays say that, you know, so-called spiritualists say that if you follow very strictly the Vedic regulations, then you will just ruin your life. And sometimes even in ISKCON we hear this philosophy. Now, especially if you go somewhere in Hawaii. Hawaii says, just you know, there are so many devotees there. They say, you know, just don't be too fanatical. You know, little sex is okay. After all, it's natural. Prabhupada says, that's what people say, it's very natural. Yes, to be in hell is also very natural, because that's our nature. To be a microbe in a stool is also a very natural position. There's nothing unnatural in this. But if you want to get rid of this position, you have to accept the Vedic regulations. You have to do this. There is no other way. And ultimately, when you accept this unquestionably, you will gradually develop very elevated qualities, out of which the most elevated quality is the quality of humility. The humility which is the antidote of our pride is the only quality which can help us to get rid of the influence of the gunas. The three modes of material nature are not outside us. It is explained in Ayurveda also that as much as our body, material body, consists of the three doshas, Vata dosha, Pitta dosha, and Kapha dosha, our mind consists of the three modes of material nature: Sattvagun, Rajagun, and Tamagun. So, the only way to transcend these particular qualities which are within the mind, they are not outside. This guna pravaha, the influence of the gunas inside. You know, you are driven by tamagun or rajagun on or sattvagun because the impetus is there in the mind. You already have the particular mind with particular unique combination of material nature. So how to get rid of this? There is only one way to get rid of this, is to develop humility, which is the natural condition or quality of a soul. So what happens with us? Listen, because it's very important. Unless we understand this, we will never be able to get rid of our material existence. Mind is a machine. It's composed of the three qualities of material nature, and this machine, however unique it may be, because we all like our own mind, is machine. It's nothing but machine which is programmed in a certain way to react of on the circumstances which we are in. And you know, everyone's reaction may be unique. But it's nothing but a machine which is reacting on the principle of action and reaction. Somebody comes to you and touches you. And if you have a very passionate mind, you'll say, "Ah, rah, 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 rah. Who do you think you are to touch me?" If you have little sattvic mind, it will react in a sattvic way. If you feel, if you tamasic person, you will just be in tamas, so you will not even notice it. But the thing is that, what is karma? Karma is just action and reaction, action and reaction, action and reaction. This action and reaction is where? In our mind. This action and reaction is in our mind, and unless and until we are acting on the basis of our reactive mind, the reactions of our activities will continue. And we will never be able to cut this vicious circle of action and reaction, action and reaction, action and reaction. What is reacting our mind? There will be always some kind of provocation from the material nature or whatever, from other people, from other minds of people, and we will acting on them, and you know, and we will continue with this. What is humility? And that is called pride. Our acting according to the provocations or whatever is called pride. You know, pride again may manifest in a sattvic way. Somebody can touch you or say you're a fool, and if you are a little sattvic, you will not say that you're a fool yourself, but you will definitely think it. No. You will definitely, you know, you will look at him and you will not even say something to him. But it's pride. Humility means you don't react. That's what humility means. Humility is nothing but this particular amazing, totally transcendental ability not to give the reaction which is equal to the action. We know that this law of karma is that, you know, the action, reaction, action, reaction, action, reaction. Humility means somebody is acting on you and you're not reacting. That's what humility means. You know, I'm not reacting. I'm not, I have nothing to do with it. If you develop this quality, which is transcendental, and you cannot develop it, that's the problem. But you can start developing it by, you know, by following the rules and regulations. But ultimately, it's a transcendental quality which has to come upon you. We cannot develop humility on our own. Ultimately, humility, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains, is a gift. It is a mercy of Krishna which comes upon you after us trying hard to follow what he wants us to do. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, you know, if we chant the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, then gradually at certain stage of your spiritual development, this gift will be given to you by Krishna, by the mercy of the holy name. If we take any stage of spiritual development, starting with Shraddha, we will be able to see that starting with Shraddha, everything is just a gift, is a mercy. Sometimes people say, you know, that Krishna is not giving me anything. He gave you everything. He gave you Shraddha. He gave you Sada Sangha. He gave you Bhajana Kriya. This is all mercy. And he doesn't give the whole dosage of it. You know, yes, sometimes we read something about, you know, from Chaitanya Charitamrita, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would give, you know, to somebody complete full dose of Krishna Prema. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's sometimes, I mean, he's not very rational. he just gives. And sometimes we have this misconception that this is the mercy which I want. But please do consider how much mercy we have already obtained. When it is said that somebody is Kripa Siddha and somebody is Sadhana Siddha, in both cases it's Kripa Siddha. Because when one follows the sadhana, the very basic definition of sadhana in our particular line is that sadhana itself will not be able to give you anything. It's the very fact that we are following what Krishna wants us to do, which is the cause of causes mercy of Krishna. Ultimately, everything which we get is the causeless. It's causeless because it's on the same level as Krishna. Krishna Prema is causeless, but Shraddha is also causeless. Srila Jiva Goswami explains it very beautifully in his Bhakti Sandarbha that Shraddha, the faith, is also causeless. It's not only Krishna Prema is causeless or Bhava Bhakti is causeless. Shraddha is also causeless. Where did you get it from? From Krishna. He gave you this little mercy, little installment of His mercy, and then He watches how you will deal with this installment. Will you appreciate this mercy, or will you just neglect this mercy? So He gives you little by little, little by little, little by little, and at one point He will give you the humility. Trinadapi sunichina tarorapi sahishnana amani namanadina kirtaniya sadahari. But, you know, He will causelessly give you humility if you follow what He wants. And one can say, you know, what is this causeless thing, you know, if there is if. But anyway, the causeless means that you may follow and He will still not give. but usually, and that's sadhana, that's what Srila Rupa Goswami guarantees us, if we follow what He wants us to do, if we chant the holy name, that at one point the humility will come. And what will come if we follow strictly the rules and regulations and we follow the rules of sadhana bhakti and what our spiritual master wants us to do, then we will gradually understand the simple thing is that nothing depends on me. And that's the foundation of humility. And we act on our own. The basis of pride, the foundation of pride is that ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. Kartaham. I am karta. Ishvaraham aham bhugi. Siddaham balavan sukhi. Look at me. I am so happy. I am so perfect. I am so strong. Kartaham. But when we follow the rules and regulations, we ultimately understand that when nothing, which is very painful. You know, how is that I'm nothing, whereas I'm something? Yeah, you are something. You are microbiness too. Very much something. But ultimately, humility means to understand I am not the doer. There is a very beautiful story about Krishna's, not Krishna's, about the grandson of Bhima, Barbarik. He was the
son of Gatathaj. And he was a very great warrior, so much so that even Krishna was worried, because he obtained some boon, and according to the boon which he has obtained, any arrow, he had 3 arrows only. And with this one arrow, he could kill everyone he wanted. And Krishna knew it, and he actually gave a vow before the war in Kurukshetra. He gave a vow that I will join the losing party. And he had this power. He could basically destroy the opposing party. And Krishna became worried when he knew that he is going to join the war. He came in the disguise of a brahmana, and he said, "Can you please show, you know," and started kind of mocking at him, you know, "Look at you, you only have 3 arrows in your quiver." And this barbaric said that, "You know, I don't need 3, I only need 1. And Krishna said, "Can you show me how this 1 arrow works?" And he said, "You know, here's the 3. Can you?" He said, "I can basically, with this 1 arrow, I can pierce everyone. This 1 arrow is enough to destroy the whole creation. I don't need the 2nd one. So he, you know, he made 1 arrow from his bow, and the arrow starts, you know, piercing the leaves of the tree. They were under a banyan tree, under a peepal tree. And this arrow went through all the leaves of the tree and pierced every leaf of a tree. And Krishna, just to check it, he put his feet on 1 leaf. So this arrow pierced every leaf of a tree and started hovering over Krishna's feet. Just to pierce the last one. And when he showed this, Krishna was with Arjuna. And Krishna said, "Yeah, nice, very nice, very nice. I like it. Bravo, bravo," he said. "But I have 1 request. I'm a brahmana. Can you give me a boon?" He said, "Yes, yes, whatever you like, I'll give you." He said, I don't need much. I need a small thing from you. I need your head. That's what I need." And first, Barbaric was a little shocked. And that's, by the way, incidentally, that's what Krishna wants from every one of us. You know, to sacrifice our false ego means that Krishna comes and says, "You know, ultimately I want your head." Because what is our ego? Ego is our head. You know, he will not say it immediately, because he will be flatly refused. But ultimately that's what he wants from us. And he said, "I just need a small thing from you. Just give me your head." And now Barbari, being a kshatriya or whatever, Bhima's grandson, he said, "Yes, yes, I'll give you, but I have a very deep desire, and please," and Krishna showed himself, Krishna showed, and he was, actually Barbaric was very happy. He said, "I was coming just to watch this war, and I really wanted to see this war. Can you please give me a boon that I will be able still, with my head which you will cut off now, that I will still be able to see this war?" He said, "That's no problem." Krishna said, "That's simple." So, he, by the way, this head of Barbaric is still being worshipped in one temple in Rajasthan. He's called Shyam Gopal. He has black head. And Krishna gave him this boon that this head will be worshipped till the end of Kali Yuga. So the temple is there. What he did, he placed his head on the same tree under which Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. And this barbaric, or what remains of him, his head, was watching the whole war of Kurukshetra. And he was very excited, and he was really happy. He was enjoying this whole thing. But when the war ended, you know, at one point when the five Pandavas were there, you know, somehow or other Bhima said, which is very natural for Bhima, he said, "Only because of me we won this war." And naturally Arjuna didn't like it so much, because he knew that only because of him they won this war. And, you know, they still didn't like it because he's the king. And anyways, they gently started little quarreling with each other, you know, only because of me. And ultimately they came to Krishna and said, "Krishna, can you solve this problem? Can you tell us who of us, because of whom this war was won?" And Krishna didn't want to say, "Because of me." He didn't want, although he knew that that's true, but he still didn't want to say this. So he said, "You know, this barbaric, he watched. Let's go to him and ask him because of whom this war was won ultimately." So they came to this head of barbaric, this five Pandavas, including Bhima, and Bhima definitely hoped for a favorable judgment. After all, he's grandson. So Bhima kind of became very happy about this whole thing. Anyway, they came to Barbarik and they asked, "Can you please tell us whose input? Because you were watching from this position of, you know, of a witness, and you can very, you know, fairly see what was going on." He said, "You know, as far as I can understand, and as far as I have seen, I've only seen Krishna acting. I only saw Sudarshan Chakra is just, you know, chopping the heads of everyone." And of course, you know, you try to do something else, but but ultimately it was Sudarshan Chakra, you know, and Krishna. I haven't seen anyone else acting there. It was only Krishna, you know, because he had his head cut off, you know, he became humble. And this humility gave him a special vision. He could see it's Krishna who is acting. It's not anyone else. And when he said this, you know, Krishna said, yeah, he said it. I didn't say it. It was him who said it. But ultimately, again, this is the very important thing, is that our pride is this. Kartaham iti manyate. I am the doer. I am the achiever. I am siddha. I achieved this success. I am strong. I am happy. I am this. I am that. But ultimately we have to understand, we are just nothing. As Prabhupada very beautifully explain this to one devotee who said, "I am the most fallen." Srila Prabhupada says, "You are not the most anything. You are just the most insignificant." He didn't say most insignificant, because it can become a cause for our pride. "Look, I am the most insignificant. I am the number one. I am the most insignificant of all the insignificants." He said, "You are just insignificant, not even most insignificant."
just mamai vamsa jiva loke jiva loka sanati jiva bhuta sanatana manasya sthani indrayani prakriti sthani karsati. Until we understand at this point that we are very insignificant part of Krishna, and he is the doer, he is the enjoyer, not us. And then manasasthani indriyani prakritisthani karsati, we will just drag our material existence in this life. And to start developing this quality, we have to very conscientiously follow the instructions of Krishna. I guess I have to finish. Thank you very much. If I have time for questions, maybe one question. He says that for the most part of my lecture I was speaking how we should follow strictly the injunctions of the Vedas, but at the same time he says that it is well known that Vedas also prescribe worshipping the impersonal Brahman to a significant extent. And how we can reconcile this, there is an injunction to worship, and at the same time we have the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who said that we should worship the personal form of the Lord. See, the problem with the Vedas, and Prabhupada, he says that sometimes there is some apparent contradiction in the Vedas. The reason for this apparent contradictions in the Vedas is that Vedas, it's an amazing attempt to give the instruction to every living entity. And there is no scriptures to give the suitable instruction for every living entity according to adhikar of the particular living entity, according to the qualification of particular living entity. There is no other scriptures in the world, no matter what you take, Bible, Quran, or whatever, with all due respect to these glorious scriptures of the world, but there is no scriptures in the world which gives such a variegated instructions so that it would suit everyone according to his own qualification. What Vedas do? They give you different instructions to different people, different instructions, so that no matter where you are, you can be elevated. If you take any other scriptures, any other scriptures will tell some very standard and unified instructions. Every scriptures they give some instructions, but it's kind of more or less for everyone, and you have to follow this no matter whether you can or not, no matter whether you are eligible to follow these instructions or not. And Vedic instructions, the specialty of Vedic instructions is that they give the instructions according to your eligibility. Therefore, the apparent contradictions may be there. What is good for somebody may not be good for somebody else, and for him, there is some instruction which will be good for him. And therefore, you need guru who will tell you, this is your level. Krishna himself says, what is good, what is bad? You know, Uddhava asked his this question in 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna, please tell me what is good, what is bad. And Krishna didn't tell him what is good, what is bad. Oh, well, he told him what is good, what is bad. But he didn't say, this is good and this is bad. He said, if you follow something according to your qualification, this is good. And if you follow something which is not according to your qualification, which is beyond your qualification, which is outside of your qualification, this is bad. You have to follow something which is according to your adhikar. And therefore, there are apparently contradictory instructions or injunctions, and some people are so envious to the Supreme Lord, they just cannot accept immediately that Supreme Lord is a person. For them, there is this instructions that, you know, you have to, you know, worship impersonal Brahman, but also Krishna and gives very clear indication. And it's not, it's wrong, it's incorrect that there is only these instructions in the Vedas. There are plenty of instructions of the Vedas which say you worship Bhagavan. Plenty of instructions, so many instructions. It's unbelievable how people can be blinded not to see these instructions. But the point is that for those who cannot accept the personal form of the Lord, yes, these instructions are there, and that's good. If they follow this, they will be elevated to a certain level on which they will purify the heart. Ultimately, the problem is this impurity of the heart, and that's what I try to explain. We see the world through our impure heart, and this impure heart, you know, makes us react in a certain way. So, but if we do this gradual process of elevation, then we will gradually understand that Lord is a person. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and there is plenty of instructions. It's not that Lord Chaitanya, you know, concocted his teachings. He based very strongly, and the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they very strongly based and grounded his teachings in the original instructions in Vedas and Puranas. So that's wrong. But why this apparent contradiction is there? Because there are different people, and Vedas want to include everyone, not to exclude everyone. They just want to include everyone and give to everyone the way to elevation. Okay. Thank you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya, Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki jaya, Shri Shri Radha Shyama Sundara Lalita Vishakha Devi ki jaya, Shri Gaur Nitai ki jaya.